We had a great, great first week of five ways that God uses to grow in faith. I hope you guys had a good week with it. Hope you had a good time last Sunday. I thought last Sunday was just a beautiful start. God was here. I hope your small group was good, or maybe it'll be better this week. Some had great groups. I know I did. We had some just fantastic groups, and I've heard good things from others. I'm glad you were able to be a part of that, and I hope you continue. For all of us, if this is your first Sunday here, we're going to just do a real quick overview of what we're doing here with the five. And so to do that, I'm going to have the kind of the author of this whole series. His name is Andy Stanley. I'm going to have him do just a quick review of what we went over last week so everybody's on the same page. So I'm going to play my web man here, my computer dude. See how this goes. This should be on channel 7.
Well, we began last week by asking a question that I wish that all of us could kind of come back to from time to time during this series, and I doubt that we will because it's hard, because once you walk out these doors or turn off the CD or turn off your computer or however you're getting this, life's just busy. But imagine for just this moment, if you would, if you had absolutely perfect faith and confidence in God. And no matter where you are in the whole God thing, whether you believe there's a God or not, or you believe it's a personal God, or you're not sure yet, but just in terms of imagination, imagine if you really did believe there was a God who knew your name, who is a personal God, who heard your personal prayers, and that you could absolutely have perfect confidence in all the time. That when things were great, you had confidence in God. When things were bad, you had confidence in God. That when things didn't go your way or prayers didn't get answered, your natural response was, well, God's in control. God's going to work this out. God leverages bad things for good things. We're just going to wait and see what God has in store. And that was really the way you viewed the world and really the way you viewed your life. Imagine how different your life might be. Imagine the confidence you'd have, this personal security you would have, the insecurities that would go away, your ability to face temptation, your ability to face loneliness when you're all alone and someone's left you and you're just in despair and you could just breathe a sigh of relief and say, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I believe that you're in control. I believe that you're working behind the scenes. I believe somehow you're going to bring good from this, and I'm just going to rest in you and have confidence in you. And you weren't in denial, but you just had that real confidence and faith in God. Imagine how different your life would be in high school or in college, or as you face temptation or despair or illness or bad news as it relates to somebody that you love. Imagine that kind of confidence. And you perhaps have met people who had that kind of faith in God. And as we said last week, perhaps your response to them has been to give them more information, in thinking that as you gave them more information, they would have less faith in God. You know, have you read the paper? Do you know? Are you paying attention? And yet these people just seem bulletproof. They're just like, you know what? I understand that. No, I didn't know that. Thanks for sharing that with me. But I just, you know, I'm just trusting God. And if you're not a person that has that kind of faith, when you meet people who do, it's irritating. And part of it's irritating because you wish you had that kind of confidence. And then, if you don't say this, of course, then you think, you know what? I wish I was as dumb as you are. Because if I was as dumb as you are, I'd have the kind of faith that you have. But unfortunately, I'm an educated person. I've got a higher than average IQ. I've seen the world. I know what's going on. And there's no way I can have that simple kind of childlike faith. But boy, my life would be a lot more peaceful if I did. Imagine with your current IQ and all your education and all that you know, having traveled all over the world and, you know, been everywhere and read what you've read and gone to school where you've gone to school and experienced what you've experienced. In spite of all that, imagine waking up in every day with this unbelievable kind of bulletproof confidence in God. Well, as you open the pages of the Old and the New Testament, it becomes very evident that that is what God is trying to do in all of us, is reestablish a relationship of trust and confidence. As we said last week, man's problem with God began not just simply through disobedience. Man's problem with God began when mankind decided not to trust God anymore. And the story of the Old Testament is God reestablishing a trust relationship with the nation as a picture or as a word picture for the rest of the world. And in the New Testament, we find God reestablishing a trust relationship with the rest of the world, the Gentiles, as most of us would be considered, a relationship with the rest of the world through His Son Jesus, who came into the world and said this. He didn't say, if you'll be good, God will be a trustworthy God. And He didn't say, if you'll be good, God will love you. He said, you know what? God wants you to trust Him. And so he sent me here, and if you will trust me, you'll reestablish your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Because just as the thing fell apart over trust, so the thing can be reestablished in the same way through trust. So what God wants to do is grow big faith in you. Because if you have big faith, if you have big confidence in God that seeps into every single facet of your life will be different. The way you view relationships will be different. The way you view tragedy will be different. The way you view prosperity will be different. The way that you view money, morality, ethics, everything will be different. And so God's in the process of trying to grow in us big faith. Now, we ended last week by saying that we've observed there are five things that God seems to consistently use to grow big faith. And these aren't in the Bible as a list. These aren't five things that you do. In fact, they're in the back of your bulletin. Let me hit them real quick. If you want to flip your bulletin over, we gave you the five things. Practical teaching, we're going to talk about that today. Providential relationships that God brings people into our lives that grow our faith big. Personal disciplines, we're going to talk about those things that we do in private that we've learned about. Pivotal circumstances, when anybody tells their story of big faith, they always tell a story about something that happened, something good, something bad, something, you know, life-changing. And the last one, personal ministry. In fact, in your bulletin, those two last two may be flipped around. Personal ministry and circumstances. So these are five things that we've observed. Again, these aren't listed in the Bible in any particular order, but as we've observed people and as we've listened to people tell their stories, it seems that these five things show up in everybody's story that God uses to build their big faith. Now, the reason we're doing this series is because no matter where you are on the growth spectrum, you've just begun a relationship with God, maybe you've sort of got one foot in, one foot out, or you've been a Christian for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years, my hunch is if I heard your story and if you were to tell me what's going on in your life right now, these are five things that God will continually use to grow our faith and our confidence in Him, grow it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Good. All right. That's a great start. I love listening to Him. I hope you do too. You'll hear more of Him in the small groups if that's able to be part of it. Where do I go? There I go, that little guy. No, no, oh, ooh, that's a cool picture, but that's not the one I wanted. Have you ever seen this phrase before? Let's get the lights back on. Anyone who listens to my words and follows them. Have you heard that phrase? Another way to say it is anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. That phrase comes from one of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible. It's a story that Jesus told. It's a parable. It's a parable that Jesus that is so crystal clear in its message and in its understanding. I can read this or I can listen to it and I can kind of go, that makes sense. I get it. I get it. That's what this story is all about. The story is of a wise person. A wise person who builds up a house, builds up some kind of construction. He puts Jesus' words into practice. The story is also of a foolish person who also builds up a house, but does it in a different way. He doesn't listen to God's words, and he doesn't put them into practice. It's going to seem like both are doing the exact same thing. But in reality, there's a huge, huge difference. So we're in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 7, 24, I asked Faye Foster if she'd come up and read us this scripture together. You can look on the screen or look in your Bibles, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Thank you, Faye. Get that right in your mouth, okay?
Hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Thank you, Faye. Pretty easy to understand the story. I'm going to keep it up there just for a sec, Charles, even though everyone's already looking at that. No great mystery here, right? It's not a riddle. It's not a riddle. It's simply this idea of wise, foolish. They're both building a house. Their only difference is the foundation. The only difference is the ground that it's being built on. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was preparing and thinking about this sermon, it was pretty easy for me to think about a shaky, lousy foundation as I've watched what's been going on in Haiti over these last couple weeks. I mean, just this horrendous, horrendous disaster. And if you watch the footage or the photos, it just is overwhelming to see these buildings that just crumbled in so quickly and so easily. It's so sad, so sad. But there's a part of me, I don't know if you felt this way as well, you thought this, I just wonder how many lives could have been spared if some of those buildings in that city would have been built on a real foundation. I just wonder. And it's so sad, and it's just all sorts of things to think about with this. But, man, if only. And it's like one time I'm thankful for our government who makes us do things like that in our buildings with the codes and all that. Usually I want to complain about that too, but I won't today. Right? Another thing I saw in the news this week that pertains to this were the storms going on in California. You said how the rain's hitting there. The only good thing about it is it's missing us. Yeah? They're getting what we usually get at this time of year. And all the mudslides and all that stuff. But this picture here, Charles, show that picture. It is so. This is happening somewhere in at the California beach. This apartment complex has been evacuated. This photo was taken before Christmas. And you see those black tarps? You see what's going on there? It's just right on the ocean. Go ahead to the next photo. These black tarps are now, what I saw last week on the news, those tarps are hanging straight down. And they had these live cameras on the sucker going, oh, we're going to watch this baby go down. You know, they were really, thought that'd be good news, man. That'd be exciting. And I don't know what's happened in the last couple of days, but that would be kind of fun to watch that, quite honestly. That would be kind of cool. But isn't it amazing how just the simple erosion of the sand is making this happen? What was once probably a valuable piece of property, a valuable apartment, is now nothing. And as sad as that all is, it sure magnifies the point of what Christ is teaching about here in this story. The wise person and the foolish person building the exact same structure. The exact same structure. The only difference is the foundation. So what is the foundation in Jesus' story? What's the foundation? Anyone, you go back to our beginning phrase, anyone who listens and follow my words is wise. Anyone who listens but doesn't follow my words is a fool. The foundation's not about listening. They're both listening, right? Did you catch that? What's the foundation? The foundation is those who hear and obey and follow and do what they say. It's applying. So Jesus seems to be saying, stay with me here, would you? Think about this. Jesus seems to be saying that just coming to church on Sunday, to a service, you know, if you come most Sundays, or let's say you watch a sermon on TV, or you do that Bible thing online, or you watch this Beth Moore DVD, all those things are good. I'm not saying they're bad, but if that's all you do, and you never, and your soul is never touched, or your lifestyle is never changed, if all you do is go through the motions and you just hear it, and everything stays the same, I shouldn't have touched that, sorry. If that's all that happens, then Jesus seems to be saying it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. This is hard for some of us because a lot of you were trained that if you just go to church and maybe feel just a little bit guilty for all the bad things you did, if you just do that, God's going to like do this little check or put a star by your name and go, good job. Good job, Bill. Good job, Sarah. You guys, oh, that was great. Love you guys. You know, some of us have been, maybe weren't trained, maybe the better word is we've been brainwashed to think that. And I understand, if you're struggling with this, and that's how you were raised, a lot of us were too. And we've had to kind of go through some radical spiritual surgery to rethink, to be rewired to think what God really thinks. Because the Lord seems to be saying something different. He seems to be saying that listening to my words is not enough. It's not enough. I want you guys to learn about the Bible. I do. I want you guys to love it. I do want you to listen to it. These are some great words. I mean, this is God's message to us, and I want you to treasure this. I love it that you're here this morning at church. I mean, it'd be kind of boring talking to the window. You know, it'd kind of be a drag. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're in home groups and all that stuff. That's not the issue. There's something more important, though. More than that, I want you to be able to do the Bible. I want you to be able to apply these incredible, transferable truths into your lives to make a difference. And you know what? I want you to ask the so what question. If you've been here at Two Rivers, you understand what that so what question is. But if you're new, what do you think? The so what question is, you hear something, it's interesting, it's maybe challenging, it's informative, but if you just leave and go, well, that was really great. No, you start asking, you ask yourself the so what question. You look at yourself, kind of look at yourself in the mirror and go, so what? What do I learn from this? How is my life going to be any different from what I just heard this morning? And we think that's a great question to ask. So what? But you have to ask that question, because anyone who listens to the words and puts them into practice is wise, is not a fool. I don't want to be called a fool. I want to be a wise person. You know, there are so many examples in our church family of you guys doing the Bible, of you guys putting these words into practice. And I'm so thrilled when I hear about these things or when I watch what's going on. It keeps me going. Honestly, I just love it. Here's a few examples of what I see going on. There's a number of you that are praying for kids who are going off the path. You're praying for kids who need the Lord to be in their life again. And you guys are praying serious. And you let some of us in on it, and it's exciting, and I'm amazed at some of your faith as you pray. And you take that verse that we prayed for Kenny, when it says here in John 14, you ask for anything in my name, I'll do it. And when Jesus says in my name, what he's talking about is the authority of like the royal name, the kingdom, you know, what fits into God's realm and God's will. And Jesus says you can ask for anything. If it's in God's will, if it's in my name, I will do it for you. And you guys are taking that verse seriously. And you're praying it for different situations in your life. Some of you are praying it for your kids, and that blows me away. 6 months ago, I had a list of 8 people in our church who were out of work, and they needed to work. They needed a job. Some of you might remember, do you remember that? Any of you remember that list? We prayed hard for that list. Some of you are here today as part, you are on that list. Now I'm telling you, as of today, there's not one of those person of those 8 that doesn't have a job. All 8 of them have work. And it may not be their great career choice, but they have work. Yeah, that's all right. That was really a great shout out to God there. Yeah, good, yeah. But here's the deal. Was it lucky? Is it coincidence? I don't know, but you know what? I'm learning how to depend on God more and more in prayer. I'm learning what it means to do this and to trust him, and it's so fun to watch God answering them. Here's one more example of you guys doing the word. The finances. So many of us, we've just been caught in debt. We just live our lives in constant debt, and some of us are learning that that's not God's best for our lives. Duh. Yeah. That we're not supposed to be always under debt. In fact, we take this verse here, the Proverbs 22, that says the borrower is a slave to the lender. How practical is that? That in Scripture, it's telling us that we probably shouldn't max out our credit cards. Maybe we shouldn't use them at all. We shouldn't take out these horrific loans at 20, 30% interest just to pay our, you know, all these things that we just shouldn't do, and we shouldn't live beyond our means. I don't want to be a slave to anyone or anything except for the Lord. And this is, and so many of us are just our slaves to our money situation, to our life. And whether our fault or others, we're learning, though, that we can do the word. And I'm excited about that. The Bible's just full of these kind of practical principles that will radically change your life for the better. If you do them, if you put them into practice, they'll make a huge difference in your life. That, my friends, is listening to Jesus' words and doing them. Practical biblical teaching is never, ever, ever about information, and it's never, ever, ever about ritual. That's not what we're talking about here when we say practical biblical teaching is really important to grow our faith. It's kind of like going to Outback Restaurant, which is one of my, I've been there a long, long time, but Outback, good steaks there, right? Okay, you know, and if you can ever afford it, don't use your credit card, but you can take me anytime you want, okay? So let's say we go into Outback Restaurant and we walk around to all the tables and all the people that are eating their wonderful food, and we ask, we engage in conversation. How are you guys liking your food? It looks great. You go, oh, good. You walk around to every single table. You're happy. You got a smile on your face. You engage in conversation, and then you leave. And you guys had a great experience at Outback, right? Of course not. That's silly. It's silly. Unless you sit down, you get that napkin under your shirt there, and you get your fork and your knife in the upright position, and you start attacking that 10-ounce ribeye. You know, unless you do that, what good is it to go to Outback? Right? What good is it? Let me tell you, zero. Zero, none. And the Lord is saying to us today this. Listen closely. What benefit is there? There's zero benefit for us to go to a church service. There's zero benefit for us to be in a home group. There's zero benefit for us to observe any religious ritual if all we do is listen. But we never take seriously God's word for our lives. We never expect God to impact our lives with the words. What kind of foundation are you guys building your lives on? Good question. Now here at Two Rivers, we do things differently here. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, we're different. We realize it. If you've ever gone to any other church, you might be saying, you guys are a little bit different. And one of the things, as I talk to people who are coming, they observe, one of the things that they often say is, you guys are so informal. You guys are so casual. And I go, yeah. Thinking that's intentional. I mean, we're doing this on purpose. And let me, in a sentence, let me tell you why. Why are we so informal? It's not that we're irreverent. It's not like we're trying to, you know, it's not any of that. It's simply this. We just don't take ourselves too seriously. We don't take ourselves too seriously. Do you understand what I'm saying? But, and big but here, but we take God and we take his message to us very, very seriously. Do you see the difference? And I'm not being critical of other churches, because they do what they do and that's cool. And some of them are just like us, and it's great. I'm not saying we're the only church by any means. We're just trying to do something special here that I think is reaching a great group of people, a great people in our community. We're not taking ourselves too seriously. We just take God really seriously. And I think that's a very healthy foundation for our church. For example, talking about taking this Bible seriously, we've just kind of almost finished a series in Ephesians. We were in Ephesians almost all of last year. And I don't know if you remember that at the beginning of November, we were in chapter 4, and we heard some verses that talked about our mouth, what we say, our language. In fact, let me just quickly show these verses to you. One of them, I think it was, chapter 4, verse 29. Try to not be convicted by this. Don't use foul or abusive language, but let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Are you kidding me? Everything? And then a few verses later, here's another one. Paul says, one more here. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these aren't for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Man, I got a weird pack here I got to get rid of. I don't know about you, but many of us felt conviction when we first heard these verses back in November. I remember hearing comments of some of the home group discussion, how it was just a tiny bit uncomfortable as we talked about what this really meant for our daily lives. And many of us, I just reading those right now, I'm kind of under conviction again. You know, but it's not that guilt thing. It's like God is saying, this is serious. This is something good. This will help you. And many of us have asked God to help us in this area of our lives because it's important to him. And here's my point. You need to be in a church. You need to be in a community of faith where you hear this book read and studied and made real for your life. You need to be in a community of faith where that happens. And if it's not here, please find somewhere where that does happen, okay? Because it is. Find another place. But you need to be in a community of faith where they truly believe that this book contains God's inspired words for us. The message for us. You need to be at that place. And you know what? You're going to have to get a little uncomfortable now and then because, well, it's like this. God's way is perfect. God's way is good. God's way is holy. And here we are. We're kind of going the other way. And when we're under, when we feel like God's working in our lives, the Holy Spirit's working, we're convicted by these words and we want to change, it's kind of like scraping our natures. And it's hard sometimes to realign ourselves to go God's way and to do God's things. But you know what? It's painful, but it's worth it. And it works because God helps us to change as he challenges us through his word to get it into our lives when we put those words into practice. All right? Do you get it? That's what a different life, that's what a deeper faith is all about. It may be uncomfortable a little bit. It's worth it. And I commit myself to this call to teach you guys to preach the Bible in an environment of trust, an atmosphere of grace. Those are important phrases for me. An atmosphere of grace, an environment of trust. You know what that means? That means I don't have to yell at you guys. I don't have to scream at you. I don't have to get all red in the face and point my fingers and say, you guys are bad. I don't have to do that. I can present the Word of God in a very real, honest way. And in a place where there's trust being built, there's grace all around, and I'm just silly enough to believe that God, through his Holy Spirit, uses that environment to penetrate into each of our souls and go, he's talking to you. He's talking to you, because the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts. It's the Word of God that convicts. I don't have to try to overdo it and yell at you and scream at you. I don't like people screaming at me. I don't want to scream at you. I want to do it in a way that is God's honest, complete gospel without having to yell and scream at you. And you need to commit yourself to that kind of church environment. Again, whether here or somewhere else, find it. Where you're not just listening, but you're putting these words into practice. I'm so thrilled to watch God work in so many of your lives. Man, I'm thrilled about it. Sometimes, though, I got to admit, I get a little frustrated when I see you guys kind of going through that little gerbil wheel and just kind of doing the same things over and over again, making the same mistakes over and over. You know what that's called? That's called insanity. Insanity means you keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again and you never learn. But God wants to do something special in your lives. He wants you to experience such hope, such peace, such purpose. He wants that to be real in your life as you learn God's ways and you put them into practice in your daily life. And I'm talking 24/7 here, not just Sunday mornings or whenever, all right? Okay, practical biblical teaching. That's what this is all about. God wants to build up your faith through practical teaching. He'll give you that out-of-the-box, extraordinary faith in him that he's in control and he knows what he's doing, all right? If you don't apply God's word, you're like a person who builds this nice-looking house on a very shaky, shaky foundation. But it's just a facade. But, if you do take these words seriously, God promises you a strong foundation so that when the storms come, you will stay standing. You'll stay standing. I understand there's someone here that doesn't quite, maybe has a different point of view of this. And I thought it'd be good to have someone kind of give a rebuttal. Is that okay? Everyone's okay with that? It's safe. Environment of trust, atmosphere of grace, right? So I want this person to come on up. And if I remember your name right, you Mrs. Pius Jones, is that who your name is? And would just like you to come and just give your response to what we're talking about this morning, okay?
Thank you, Rob. The Christian life requires us to have faith. And there are things in our life that will test that faith. So it's important to have strong faith. To have strong faith means that your faith is ready for whatever Satan may lob directly at you. Take my faith, for instance. My faith in God is so strong that I don't have to read the Bible to believe that it is his true and perfect word. In fact, I've never actually had to open my Bible. No, my faith in its timeless wisdom and limitless applications for my life is just that strong. I also never pay attention in church. Because when you have faith this strong, you don't have to hear the message to believe the message. Amen?
Amen.
Home groups? Oh, please. I'm so far beyond that. Everyone here already knows how strong my faith is. Why would I need to connect individually when I have stand-alone strong faith? If only everyone here had faith as strong as mine. These have been deep thoughts from a shallow Christian.
Deep thoughts from a shallow Christian. That's good. Let's stand together. My challenge to you guys this week is to take this week seriously. Take it seriously. Do the preparation at the back of the participant's guide. Look at those verses. Think about it. Think about what it means to not just hear the Bible, hear the words of the Bible, but actually to do what they say. Think about that. Apply them to your lives. If you do, God will grow your faith in a huge way. In a huge way. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the challenge of this morning. Thank you for the hope that we have by listening to your word today. And Lord, what conviction we feel, may you just speak to us directly. Speak to us in our hearts. Lord, I want to lift up to you anybody that's here this morning that really isn't sure about their relationship with you. Lord, they probably believe in you, or they probably wouldn't be here, but man, they're just not sure. You seem so far away. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would encounter them and that they would talk to someone this morning or come pray with me, that we would, Lord, people would come to know you as personal Savior and build that trust relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to understand just how important good, practical, biblical teaching is. It's from your Bible, Lord, and it's for you to help us as we think, as we go through our journey of faith together. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for just hearing. Forgive us when we just listen, but not making it a reality in our lives. Help us, Lord, to understand what it means to put these truths into practice. And I pray for each group that meets this week. Lord, may they be supernatural. May you be there as the guest of honor and do something special. Thank you for this last week. We pray for more. We just pray to get hotter and hotter and for your glory. Thanks for loving us and wanting this trust relationship with us. We love you. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. Go be the church, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday morning. God bless.